Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Sulemar surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I'm your host, Brennan Tassif, joined as always by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Brennan?
Not much. Thank you for indulging me. We just went through a pre-show meeting that we did a behind the scenes of my trip to LA. And now we're going to get into some sports, baby.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk NBA today, and then obviously the tourney, March Madness.
Big tourney.
We're going to do some quick hits with the NHL. Soccer was off. Fulham was off this week, so we're not going to do any Fulham corner. And then we'll get right into the press conference. But Joe, let's start this week the same way we do every week.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
I realize I said, Joe, let's start this week. And normally I say, Joe. That totally threw me off. We're talking NBA. My voice is still pretty hoarse from the show that I did in LA this weekend, but we're going to get through it.
I was about to say, I noticed it on the other recording. Yeah. I was like, the boy is struggling.
Yeah, but we'll get through it. We're all right. A couple of big headlines happening this week in the NBA. The biggest thing I want to talk about is we've talked about this quite a bit throughout the season. The Cavs, who were the dominant force in the East, lose to the Magic, which we talked about last week, but then went on a skid. They ended up losing their next three games. They just pulled out a big win against the Utah Jazz. What was that, last night?
Yeah.
120-91. But before that, they lost to the Suns, who were a dumpster fire, but might be back. The Kings, who, you know, are a play-in team at worst. The Clippers, who are definitely in the playoffs. So none of this looks that bad except for that Magic loss and then obviously clearing out the Jazz. So my question to you is, we thought the Cavs were going to be the top of the table this whole time, but the Boston Celtics are on a little bit of a heater. Can the Celtics catch the Cavs in the East? And does it matter?
Two things. I do want to point out the Kings, though they are possibly a play-in team at best, they're still without Sabonis. So that was a dub without Sabonis as well. Whereas the Cavs were more or less at full strength. Looks like the point guard, Garland, didn't play. That's about it. I think this is not good. I think the Cavs nowhere more than in the NBA does the number one seed matter. Not only do they have the Celtics on their tail, they've also seeded the best record in the entire NBA now to OKC. OKC now has a two-game lead on them as far as a potential, if they meet up in the finals. OKC will have home court advantage as it stands right now. They're riding a six-game win streak. I think it does matter because outside of the finals, in the Eastern Conference finals, if they match up with the Celtics, you would want that extra game to be at home. Everybody knows if there is a game seven, it's easier to be at home than on the road, especially in a place like Boston that is hostile. Just rabid fan base on top of you, bearing down. Like you don't want to see that in a game seven. So I think good of them to get that win yesterday. I think they're coming to a bit of a softer part of their schedule as they close out the season here. They play Portland, San Antonio for the next two games. They got another game with San Antonio. And they got Sacramento again. So, well, it's about 12 games or so left in the season, I want to say. So, yeah, about 12-ish games left in the season. So, you want to keep, it's only five games right now. You don't want to have another four game slide at any point. You want to keep that distance. So it'd be something to monitor, but I think they should be able to pull it out. But Celtics have been looking hot. Celtics, for as much grief they've been getting a lot throughout the season, they've been keeping pace with the Cavs and the Thunder for the most part. As far as wins are concerned, there's only three teams with over 50 wins, and those are the three. So don't sleep on the Seas is what I'm saying. They are still the defending champs. Like, I think they've been getting overlooked a lot this year because Cleveland has just, like, made a leap from 4-1 in the last season, and then OKC repeating what they did last year, and SGA having another MVP caliber season, Jokic having, you know, the spectacular numbers he's having, you know, Lakers and Luka, LeBron and everything like that. But the Cavs are just like little engine that could just chugging along. They're just right there on time every time.
The Celtics.
The
Cavs are too, but I know what you mean. The Celtics. Yeah, this is I've also been watching Celtic City, the documentary. So I'm in. I'm in on the Seas, baby. Speaking of the East, we have a little bit of drama, a little bit of Melrose Place. Jimmy Butler with the Golden State Warriors is returning to Miami. I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. When I first read this, when you wrote it down, I thought he was hurt. And I was like, Jimmy's not hurt. Jimmy's been playing. And then I looked at the schedule of the games coming up. And I was like, oh, he means returns to Miami.
Yes.
Steph Curry injured his pelvis. He is day-to-day for this game. So he's in Miami, but it's going to be kind of a game-time decision. How do you think, because I know my answer, how do you think the Heat culture brings back Jimmy Butler? Because he did drag them to a finals.
He dragged them to two finals. Let's not forget it. No bubble erasure here. But it's going to be interesting because going into it, you would think there would be some warm feelings, you know, with a lot of distance now. It's like, you know, he did give a lot to the franchise, the organization. There was a culture of winning that he, you know, was the spearhead of. But getting ready for the game, I think after the game, he didn't have, like, the greatest comments going into it. It's kind of like, yeah, it's another game. Things didn't go the way they were supposed to go. But, you know, I'm not looking. This is not a big game. This is not a small game. You know, it's just another game. Blah, 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 blah. He kind of just, like, yada, yada the whole thing, which is very interesting. The Heat pride themselves on being a classy organization, a classy franchise, a first-class organization and whatnot. So one of the debates, like the Levitard show has been having, I've been having with people, is does he get a video? What do they do for him that to kind of show, like, pay respect? Like, you know, say what you will about how he exited, got you to two finals. Like,
yep.
Outside of the LeBron era, you had been to one final with Wade and Shaq. So he's double Wade's output when Wade was the only guy. Not to say he's a better player than Wade, but just saying. He was able to drag carcasses, a carcass of a team that was a fifth seed and an eighth seed, all the way to the NBA Finals twice. So I feel like...
And beat a Celtics team that they had no business beating.
They had no business beating. So I
think the gentlemen swept them.
I feel like they're... No, they that one of them... I can't remember the first one in the playoffs, but the one out of the... I mean, I can't remember the one in the bubble. The one out of the bubble, they were up 3-0. Celtics came back 3.
And then they beat them in game seven. Yeah, because that was a big deal because it was like, oh, game seven.
Yeah, this might
Boston.
Be the first
there's no
time.
Way.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Like, there's no way they're going to lose. And then they lost.
So yeah, it's just going to be interesting... There's definitely an interesting dynamic, especially with the Heat after the trade just looked in shambles. Like, they went on a 10-game losing streak. They got their first win over a month, it feels like, last night against the Hornets. So what does the organization do? What do the fans do? How does Jimmy respond? Because I don't think he should – I mean, you know, hindsight 2020, I'm also somebody on the outside. I think he should embrace the Heat fans. I think he should embrace, you know, the organization, because he was a really good player in a lot of places, but the conversations people started to have about Jimmy Butler when he got to the Heat and when he was able to do what he did with that team and that organization, he's a Hall of Famer now. Like,
yeah.
And nobody was speaking in that terms when he was in Minnesota or leaving Philadelphia or leaving Chicago. Like, he kind of made his legend there.
And I think the Heat as an organization, to your point, are a classy organization. So I think the Heat will give him a video. I don't know how the fans are going to react because the fans in South Florida aren't like, they're not like, no, I was going to say they're not tumultuous fans. Like they don't, there's not a lot of like, but like they root for their team and they're diehard for their team, but they don't really give a shit about the other, you know what I mean? Like they're worried about their team. So I don't think it's going to be a lot of like, I don't think it's going to be a warm reception from the fans because of what Jimmy did on his way out to them as fans.
There's a lot of fans that understood Jimmy's point of view because Jimmy's whole thing was like, either give me the contract or move me, because that's kind of what you're, if that's what you're saying by not giving me the contract. And the fans were like, give him the contract and get help. Like, he was doing this with guys who were undrafted and second round picks and, you know, undrafted free agents and whatnot. It's like, yo, get him some actual help. Like, Tyler Hero next to Jimmy is cute, but he has to go up against Giannis and Dame, and he has to go against Tatum and Brown. And
I wonder what would have happened.
Are we waiting for this kid to develop? Like, is that really the plan?
I just, you know how fans can be. I just don't know if the fans are fickle, see it that way.
For sure.
Yeah.
But
speaking of fickle, they did it.
They did it.
They did it.
The deed is done.
The deed is done. The Suns are winning games. Knocking off Cleveland, baby.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Suns, which, has been a dumpster fire, as we've discussed on this program at length throughout the season. In their last 5 games, they've won 4 of them. Only loss was kind of a close loss, lost by 11 to the Lakers. But other than that, they've beat the Kings, which we just talked about. The Raptors, which, but they beat the Bulls. The Bulls are a good team. I don't care what anybody says. The Bulls are a solid team. And then the cherry on top is Kevin Durant dropping 42 on the Cleveland Cavaliers this past weekend. Do we think, because we already talked about it, the Suns are in purgatory. They cannot trade anybody. That gets them to
3 under .500 and the 10th seed. And
they can't trade for anybody. They can't sign anybody really because they're over the second apron. They're kind of, they are the roster that they're going to be moving forward, at least for the next season. Do we think with this kind of bright spot towards the end of the season that maybe they'll just need to figure it out in the off season as far as the gel and the chemistry, or is this just an aberration?
No, this is, you're still in blow it up territory. 10th seed, don't give you a smile on your face if you're cutting these checks. You're not paying second apron money to be last of the teams that could get into the postseason. You're expecting to be a team that's no doubt surefire top 3 at best. Top 3 at worst, honestly. Not 10 at best, 9 at best. Like, that's not the kind of money that's on the books right now. So I think this is nice. I think, honestly, this was not of their own making, if we're going to be honest with it, too. Because, like, we've talked about, this was only a matter of time once AD went down after the Luka trade. Once Kyrie went down, it's kind of like, man, the clock is ticking. You guys going to take advantage of that or not? Because Dallas was at 6 and just started cratering after all the injuries started to pile up. And it's like, okay, Phoenix, like, are you going to do the requisite winning to get into the potentiality of getting into the playoffs, like getting into the play-in part of it? So this wasn't because they turned something around. Like I just said, they're still 3 games under .500. They didn't automatically just wake up and be like, oh, we got it, guys. It's like, oh, unfortunate things had to happen to other teams around the league for them to be put in the position to get into this position.
Yeah, and I think Devin Booker, I think they need to trade, because Matt Ishbia is on record saying Devin Booker, we're not going to trade him, but he's 29. Like, I don't understand.
Kevin Durant's 36. Like, you trade the older guy. You're not trading
I'm talking about blowing it up completely and trading both of them.
Nah, you got to keep something there. You got to have something there. That's what Beal's
for. But there's no trade clause. You can't get rid of him, but you can get rid of the other two. I just think if you're going to blow it up, all options need to be on the table. I don't think this is a blow it up except Devin Booker, because by the time you get young talent in there and develop them, he's going to be the age Kevin Durant is now.
Like, you know why you can't trade Devin Booker?
Because you need people to fill seats.
Nope. Because you don't trade Luka.
Yeah.
You don't trade the guy that's going to get retired there. You don't do it. You don't do it unless he's 38 and it's like, just give me a shot somewhere to go win something. Like, all right, we'll, as a peace offering, we'll do it. You don't trade him when he's only 29.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think if you're going to blow it up, all options need to be on the table, because Matt Ishbia is really, really, to quote Starship Troopers, he's really humped the bunk on this one.
Yeah, he really really crapped the bed. That's all I got.
Yeah. Speaking of Luka,
that new money. Yo.
Lakers. LeBron has returned from injury. The Lakers are at full force. They're ready to dominate. But then they ran into the buzzsaw that is the Chicago Bulls, ladies and gentlemen.
The Chicago Bulls.
We said it. They're a solid team. Lose to the Bulls. Crazy. And they didn't lose like, oh, this was a good game. Like, LeBron was coming back, getting warm. Like, they got boat raced. They lost by knocked the fuck out. Yeah. It was 115-146. So they lost by 31 points.
It was very funny and very cute. Because as we've documented on the show, there is just an out and out rivalry and a despisal between the Nuggets and the Lakers. And the Lakers beat the Nuggets, and the Nuggets didn't have Jokic and Murray. And the way Laker fans were enjoying it, the way they were not salivating.
Basking in it.
The way they were rolling around like a pig in the mud, like, yeah, beat the Nuggets. Oh, we're so good. Yeah, and I'm like, guys, like, the best player in the universe is not even on the court. And then his second in command isn't even out there. Like, you guys are watching, you're rubbing your nipples like you're watching porn. Like, settle down, guys. And then to get mopped by the Bulls on LeBron's return. I'll give them that, though. In the Nuggets game, LeBron wasn't there as well. So I do want to highlight that.
Yeah.
But then to get beat by the Bucks, and then to get mopped in LeBron's return against the Bulls, like, it was delicious.
Satisfying?
It was delicious.
Yeah, the Lakers are this is an interesting thing, because in my mind, it's weird, because when you talk about the Lakers, you think like, oh, my mind immediately goes to, oh, Lakers Nuggets. That's like the premier marquee matchup in the playoffs in the West. And it's like, I almost forget. It's like, oh, well, OKC is like way out in front of everybody. You know what I mean? It's almost like you're fighting for second place.
Yeah.
But again, when it comes to the playoffs, as you said, the Joker is the best player in the world at basketball. So it's going to be, we'll see what happens. But the Lakers thing is odd, because I honestly thought at this point, I'm not going to apologize yet, because I apologized too early on some things. I honestly thought that Luka would have fallen back to earth, but he's been playing really well. I do love how Anthony Davis is still the lead scorer and points per game for the season for the Lakers.
That's funny.
But we'll see what happens when we get to the playoffs. But LeBron is back. As I said last week, he'll come back. He'll get like back into shape, playoff shape through the course of these next couple weeks, and then they'll be ready to rock. All right, moving on to the tourney, baby. For everybody's favorite game, we're gonna play this in tournament style. Joe, who's out?
Who's in? Who's out? Brennan, the game that's sweeping America. Who's out? I'll go quickly. Alabama State out. Louisville out. UC San Diego out. Close game with Michigan there. Yale out. North Carolina out. Damn, I wanted North Carolina to win so bad. Lipscomb out. Marquette out. I had Marquette going to the Final Four. Didn't work out for me. Lost to fucking the Lobos of New Mexico. Bryant out. Norfolk State out. I'm just going through first rounds right now.
Yep.
Oklahoma out. Memphis out. Anthony Hardaway. What are we doing? Get it together. Grand Canyon, out. Mizzou, out. UNC Wilmington, out. Kansas, out. Bill Self, you suck. Omaha, out. Wofford, out. Utah State, out. Troy, out. Xavier, out. High Point, out. Clemson! How do you lose to McNeese State? I get the kid comes out with the boombox and everything. How do you lose to McNeese State? Clemson's out. Georgia got dusted, out. SIUE, that's Southern Illinois something something. University Evanston, maybe? Out.
Maybe. Oh, that's a good pull.
Yeah, it took me a second. Robert Morris, out. Vandy, out. Montana, out. VCU, out. Shout out to BYU, the Mormons. Akron, out. Liberty, out. Mississippi State, out. Mount St. Mary, out. Boom. All right. Who's in? I'm just going to go straight to the Sweet 16, folks. Who's in? Auburn is in. You know what? Run it back. All right. Auburn in. Michigan in. Ole Miss in. Michigan State in. Anything to talk about there? Nah, no games to talk about there. Florida in. Man, I wanted UConn to win so bad. I had UConn moving on.
UConn has been getting beat up. St. John's, Florida.
I know. I had UConn winning, though. They almost won the game, and it would have busted everyone's bracket that I'm in competition with, and I would have made out like fucking mad dumb gangbusters. Maryland in. Texas Tech in. Arkansas in. They beat the Johnnies. I needed the Johnnies to win. Johnnies, what are you doing? Rick Pitino.
I know, that was...
What the fuck? Tennessee in. Kentucky couldn't in. Shoot. Purdue in. Houston in. Great game by Houston there down the stretch against the Zags. Alabama in. BYU in. Duke in. Arizona in.
Maryland getting in on a travel.
Maryland get on the buzzer beater. It probably was a travel by accident. I've only seen one angle. I wasn't watching that game. All right.
Three now, steps and into the Sweet 16. Let's go to the women.
For the women's, I'm just going to go, again, straight to the Sweet 16s because the outs. After Brennan set me up with the who's in, who's out, and then I did it, and I was like, this is going to take 8 years to get through all of this. So I'm just going with the in. But unfortunately, some of these games are still playing because the women's tournament rolls over into Monday. So some of these are going to be left blank. So I'll give the second round who's in there. But in the Sweet 16, UCLA in, Ole Miss in after beating Baylor. Tough game. NC State crushing Michigan State in. Florida State, LSU still to play today. USC, Mississippi State still to play today. Kansas in, beating Kentucky by one. Iowa, Oklahoma still to play today. San Diego State, UConn still to play today. TCU beating Louisville in the Haley Van Lith Bowl. TCU advances. And they will play Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. Tennessee moves on. Texas is currently leading Illinois to move on to play Tennessee. Duke beat Oregon yesterday. Kara Larsa doing what she does. They're moving on. North Carolina and West Virginia play later today. Alabama and Maryland play later today. And the winner out of that plays South Carolina. That is who's in. Who's out? Who's up? Who's down? The longest iteration of the game to date.
Yeah. And I just want to say congratulations to Michigan for poaching not only our coach, but our best player from Florida Atlantic University. Go fuck yourselves.
Also, Arkansas got John L. Davis. He hit some clutch free throws down the stretch.
It is so disheartening to like see the highlights and stuff and then like see a player's name and be like, aw.
Hey, but you got to think about it this way, man. You're a part of his story.
Yeah, that's true. It's always great, too, when people, like, this happened with Lane Kiffin, when they go, yeah, Lane Kiffin went from Alabama to Ole Miss. And I'm like, no, he
don't
didn't.
Don't forget that FAU stop, baby.
He actually spent 5 years at FAU.
And should have had Shador before Shador then went to play with his
we
dad.
We had Michael Irvin's son and Shador until Dion was like, you know what I want to do? I want to coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh, what a disaster. All right, moving on to the quick hit.
You'll be surprised how quick.
Quick, baby, hits quick hit.
All right, quick. Only one quick hit today. Quick, we're going to talk about the NHL with the playoffs coming up.
Playoffs coming up. We're about 11 games away. Oh, man, it feels like shorter, and then it's always not that short. I feel like I've been saying 11 for the last 3 weeks. Anyway, right now, top of the Catlantic, I can call it that because the Panthers are number one after a win over the Penguins in a shootout, loss to the Caps 6-3. The Caps are a nasty team. Very nasty team.
We talked about it last week, man. Ovechkin still out there doing it.
Dangerous. The Maple Leafs sitting at two. Your Tampa Bay Lightning making a comeback from where they were at the start of the season.
Making a comeback.
Three in the Catlantic. In the Metropolitan, the Capitals are top with 102. They currently are the points leader for all of the NHL. Carolina Hurricanes 2, the Devils 3. In the wild card, we have the Senators and the Canadiens. The Rangers and Islanders closely behind. I don't think the Rangers really got a shot. I mean, they do have a shot, but I don't think they got a shot. Because the other three teams only have played 69 games. The Rangers have played 71 games, so they have less opportunities to catch the two wildcard teams as currently presented, currently constructed. In the Western Conference, you got the Winnipeg Jets at 100, number two in all of NHL as far as points are concerned. The Dallas Star and the Avalanche, those are your three teams in the Central. In the Pacific, you got the Knights, you got the Kings, and you got the Edmonton Oilers. And then the wildcard, you got the Wild, funny enough. And you got the St. Louis Blues, Calgary, Vancouver, and the Hockey Club all trailing for that spot. But St. Louis and the Wild look to be in good position as of standings right now.
Can I just say real quick, because we don't talk about the NHL nearly as much as we used to, and that has a lot to do with my disinterest in it lately. But I do find it fascinating. When we started this program 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and we were like doing hockey stuff, like for 2 or 3 years, we were like really into it, watching quite a bit of it. Still it's so crazy. It. You are still very into it, but it is interesting and crazy and ironic for me to see that the only two teams so far that are completely eliminated from the playoffs are the San Jose Sharks and the Blackhawks. When we first started this program a few years ago,
not that bad.
Those were like powerhouses. Yeah, I mean, they were like in the playoffs. Yeah. The Blackhawks, I think, went to the Stanley Cup Finals or the Conference Finals like the first or second year we did this.
2020?
Or maybe it was the Sharks. But now it's just decimated. They're just gone. And I'm going to be honest with you. My Ing are going to be in that boat pretty soon because Stamkos is gone. Kucherov is getting older. We're starting to peel off a little bit.
Yeah, starting to feed her.
Let's talk about the press conference.
Talk about it or go to it?
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Let's not talk about it. Let's be about it. Joe, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dover. You can find the show's Twitter and Instagram at Curing Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That is A New Low. That is Who Does a Podcast. This week we're doing Popeye. Then we got a couple good ones coming up here shortly. Keep your eyes peeled for those announcements. Looking right now, sorry, you dog with a bone. In 2020, the Sharks and the Blackhawks didn't make the postseason. 2021. They both didn't make the postseason.
Okay, so I'm a liar. Maybe it was before that. Didn't the Blackhawks win a Stanley Cup?
They had a run similar to the Giants, Pittsburgh, where they won like three in six years, like every other year they kind of won.
So maybe that's why it's top of mind.
That's why they were trying to get like Connor Bedard and everything. They've been crappy for a little bit here. All the guys got old.
That makes sense. Thank you so much for correcting me on air.
Yeah, I could hear Kyle clicking the keyboard. and grim.
I remember at one point in my lifetime when I was into hockey, the Blackhawks were very, very good.
Yes, that is correct. Don't forget to check out my website, the merch site, headphonejoe.se.com, and check out the music and everything. Headphone Joe everywhere, DSPs, TV, TV season 2, Outside 30. Brennan, where can we find you?
No, oh no, E in the phone on that moniker.
I feel like if you're making it this far, you know that.
Yeah, that's true. At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I got dates coming up in Boston, Connecticut, Florida. Check out the website, BrennanTComedy.com. For those, the Bro Adjacent Tour, where I'll be featuring with one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Matt Fulcheron. And also check out my other podcast, Ex-Drinking Buddy, where I have a guest on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. This week, Lucy Shelby talks about being a drunk yoga instructor in the Hamptons, which was a ton of fun. That's it.
All right, let's get out of here. Brennan.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello.
You should probably press the button.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out, George Foreman. Rest in peace, man.
Huge shout out, Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson. Did you hear about the drama that happened?
I'm aware. And huge shout out to my boy, Gary Innocent. RIP. Love you, man.
George Foreman, notably from The Grill.
Yeah, most notable from The Grill. I would say, have you heard the story about The Grill?
About The Grill? No, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about the Jackie Robinson thing.
I'll leave this in real quick so anybody wants to hear this story. So apparently, George Foreman and Hulk Hogan had the same agent, right? Hulk Hogan got the call first, but was out picking up his kids. Didn't have a cell phone or anything on him. And he gets back home, sees the message on the, what is that called? Voicemail? The
answering machine?
Answering machine. And he calls his agent back, and his agent's like, well, I had two products. I had a grill, and I had like a protein shake. And you didn't answer. I called you first. So then I called George. George went through the grill. Could have been the Hulk Hogan grill.
He made like $1 billion.
He made so much money.
It was a great idea, too. It's angled, so all the fat drips down.
Perfect. Come on. All heavyweight champion. Shut up.